Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chayavanarottamam Devim Sarasatim Vyasam Tatojayamadhirayat. Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest, let us offer respectful obeisances unto the personality of Godhead, Lord Narayan, unto Narayan Rishi, the supermost human being, of the modern Sarasvati, the goddess of learning, unto Srila Vyasa, the name of the author, and unto Srila Prabhupada, who is the translator, commentator, and our spiritual master. Nashta prayeshu padvareshu nityam bhagavata sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloka Bhaktir Bhavati Naistiki. By regularly attending the Srimad Bhagavatam class and by regular service unto the pure devotee, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed, and loving devotional service unto the personality of Godhead, whose worship with transcendental songs becomes established as an irrevocable fact. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're continuing reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the first canto, chapter 3, Krishna is the source of all incarnations. And today's text is 22. Nara Devatvam Apana Sura Karya Chikirshaya Samudra Nigrahadini Chakre Viryani Ata Param Naradeva Tamapanna. It's not Nara, it's Nara. There's no long A there. Please try to do this properly. We've been doing it for years. Long A means you stress. No, diacritic means no stress. So it's Nara. Everybody say Nara. Naradeva Tamapanna. Surakarya Chikirshaya. Samudra Nigrahadini. Chakre Viryanya Takparam. Naradeva Tamapanna. Surakarya Chikirshaya. Samudra Nigrahadini. Chakre Viryanya Takparam. Naradeva Tamapanna. Surakarya Chikirshaya. Samudra Nigrahadini. Chakre Viryanya Takparam. Please chant. Naradeva Tamapanna. Surakarya Chikirshaya. Samudra Nigrahadini. Chakre Viryanya Takparam. Chakre Viryanya Takparam. Naradeva Tvam Apana. Surya Karya Chikirshaya. Samudra Nigrahadini. Chakre Viryanya Takparam. Naradeva Tvam Apana. Surakarya Chikirshaya. Samudra Nigrahadini. Chakre Viryanya Takparam. Vaishnavis. Mm-hmm. Narevatam apana. Sura karya chikirshaya. Samudra negrahadini. Chakreviya nyatakparam. Sorry to be a little heavy with you, but it just means we're being lazy. And it really makes a difference. Today's verse drives home the example that I normally use, which is Rama and Rama. There's a big difference. If you don't pronounce those two properly, then you get different results. Because Rama is Lord Ramachandra, we're going to speak about today. And Rama is the goddess of fortune. Completely different personality. So in general, Prabhupada didn't stress because we were just babes in the woods. We didn't know anything about Sanskrit. But 40 years later, we shouldn't be lazy. We should really try. And every book that we publish from the BBT has a pronunciation guide in the back. It just takes a little bit of desire and a little bit of attempt, and we can start to get it right. We may never get it perfect. That's okay, but we should at least try. Okay, synonyms. Nara. Human being. Devatvam. Divinity. Apanaha. Having assumed the form of. Sura. The demigods. Karya, activities, chikirshaya, for the purpose of performing, samudra, the Indian Ocean, nigraha adini, controlling, and so on, chakre, did perform, viryani, superhuman prowess, Atakparam, thereafter. Srila Prabhupada's translation for this verse. In the 18th incarnation, the Lord appeared as King Rama. In order to perform some pleasing work for the demigods, he exhibited superhuman powers by controlling the Indian Ocean and then killing the atheist king Ravana, who was on the other side of the sea. Please repeat. In the 18th incarnation, the Lord appeared as King Rama. In order to perform some pleasing work for the demigods, he exhibited superhuman powers by controlling the Indian Ocean and then killing the atheist King Ravana, who was on the other side of the sea. Srila Prabhupada's purport. The personality of Godhead, Sri Rama, assumed the form of a human being and appeared on the earth for the purpose of doing some pleasing work for the demigods or the administrative personalities to maintain the order of the universe. Sometimes great demons and atheists like Ravana and Hiranyakashipu and many others become very famous due to advancing material civilization by the help of material science and other activities with a spirit of challenging the established order of the Lord. For example, the attempt to fly to other planets by material means is a challenge to the established order. The conditions of each and every planet are different, and different classes of human beings are accommodated there for particular purposes mentioned in the codes of the Lord. But puffed up by tiny success in material advancement, sometimes the godless materialists challenge the existence of God. Ravana was one of them, and he wanted to deport ordinary men to the planet of Indra, heaven. Now, just for those who may not know maybe ESL, deport here doesn't mean the ordinary sense that we use nowadays where you forcibly send somebody back to their country. Deport in this case means to transport. So Ravana was one of them, and he wanted to deport or transport ordinary men to the planet of Indra, heaven, by material means without consideration of the necessary qualifications. He wanted a staircase to be built up directly reaching the heavenly planet so that people might not be required to undergo the routine of pious work necessary to enter that planet. He also wanted to perform other acts against the established rule of the Lord. He even challenged the authority of Sri Rama, the personality of Godhead, and kidnapped his wife Sita, Of course, Lord Rama came to chastise this atheist, answering the prayer and desire of the demigods. He therefore took up the challenge of Ravana, and the complete activity is the subject matter of the Ramayana. Because Lord Ramachandra was the personality of Godhead, he exhibited superhuman activities which no human being, including the materially advanced Ravana, could perform. Lord Ramachandra prepared a royal road on the Indian Ocean with stones that floated on the water. The modern scientists have done research in the area of weightlessness, but it is not possible to bring in weightlessness anywhere and everywhere. But because weightlessness is the creation of the Lord by which he can make the gigantic planets fly and float in the air, he made the stones, even within this earth, to be weightless and prepared a stone bridge on the sea without any supporting pillar. That is the display of the power of God. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swamini Tinamane Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschachade Sharine Om Agyana Tamirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Jaina Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobishtang Stapitang Jaina Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeyaham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Sri Rupam Sagajatam Sahagana Ragana Tanvatam Tangsajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakanvatamsha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi, Radhe Vrindavaneshwari, Rishavanu Sute Devi, Pranamami Hari Priya. Vansha Kokpatur Vyasha Kripa Sindhu Vyavacha, Patitanang Pavanevhyo, Vaishnavevhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasari Gaur Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, as Srila Prabhupada said in his purport, the entire story or history of the appearance of Lord Ramachandra is given in the Ramayana, which we have not yet published an official BBT version of, but there is a condensed version by Krishna Dharma Prabhu, which is actually very nice to read. It gives an overview of Lord Ramachandra's pastimes. Here is being specifically remembered for two things, for building a stone bridge from the coast of India, almost near the tip there of the southernmost part of India, to Sri Lanka, which was known as Ceylon at one point. And from modern satellite imagery, they actually see that there was a bridge at one point that went from India to Ceylon. Of course, being atheistic scientists, they don't believe this version, that it was created by the superhuman efforts of the Supreme Personality of God. And they give some other explanation, that these were actually a type of porous stone that was able to float. But even if you say they were porous stones that could float, to put together a bridge that people can walk over, even made out of porous stones, way back when it was supposed to have been created, because even by modern science, they say that it's about 1.7 million years that that thing was created or came into existence. According to the Vedic cosmology, astronomy, Lord Ramachandra was on this planet about 1.75 million years ago, so it corresponds. So 1.7 million years ago, they say, yes, there were human beings, but they were primitive. So such primitive men were able to make a stone bridge from India to Lanka? Hard to believe. But again, because they're atheistic scientists, they always try to come up with some materialistic explanation for everything. They don't want to see the hand of God in anything. Even those who say they believe in God, because they're baffled by the modern scientific presentation, they say, yes, God created the universe and got everything in motion, but then this Darwinian evolution happened and the modern reductionistic viewpoint of simpler things becoming more and more complex and things just happening randomly, that actually took place after God made all the ingredients. But that's not what we are presented with in the Vedic literature, and therefore that's not what we accept. As aspiring devotees of the Lord, or actually aspiring to reawaken our devotion to the Lord, because Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadhya Kabo Noi. Love for Krishna, the service attitude towards Krishna is eternally there in every one of us. It just has to be uncovered, rediscovered, awakened. So in order to reawaken our natural devotion to God, our natural service attitude to God, we have to accept the Vedic version as it is given. We don't have leeway to take some parts and throw away other parts, which is what you find in modern India, especially, that these stories of Lord Ramachandra, of Lord Krishna, they're there still in modern Indian society. But they've been brainwashed to think that they were just myths. They're just folklore that have been coming down since time immemorial. And yes, some not so advanced people still believe that they actually happened, but we more advanced Indians, you know, we believe in science. After all, with modern science, we've created so many wonderful things in India, like the nano and the Tata truck. And now we even have rockets that we can send into space, and we have made even nuclear weapons. Ooh, we're just as advanced as the Americans and the Europeans. But the Americans and Europeans actually went to India to hear about nuclear weapons from the Vedic literature. And that's what gave them the idea to create the modern nuclear weapons. But the difference is that those nuclear weapons that they had in days of yore in India, millions of years ago, they were created not by some Ugra Karma factory somewhere, but as was mentioned earlier in this canto, just by water and chanting mantras. They could create these wonderful weapons just by touching water and reciting mantras. This was mentioned in the pastime where Arjuna had to arrest Ashwatthama. Ashwatthama was Dvija Bandhu, as we heard yesterday. This Vedic literature was specifically written down for Stri Sudra Dvija Bandhunam, for women, the Sudra class, and for those who are born in Brahmin circumstances, but because of their not following the samskaras, not following the Veda culture, then they are considered just friends of Brahmanas, Dvija Bandhu. So this Dvija Bandhu, he was son of Dronacharya, should have been just like his father, but no, because of bad association, Duryodhana and company, he went astray. So he created this nuclear weapon to destroy the last of the Pandava dynasty, but he couldn't control it. But Arjuna, being a devotee of the Lord, being guided by the Lord, instructed by the Lord, he was able to counteract it. He was able to counteract. So it was mentioned there in that pastime how just by touching water and reciting proper mantras, obviously you also have to have the proper adhikar, you have to have the proper behavior, the proper mentality, the proper purity to be able to create and control these weapons. But so in this story of the Ramayana, if you read this Ravana, he was extremely powerful. So the other point that's been mentioned here is that Lord Ramachandra, by superhuman means, was able to destroy this demon Ravana. He was not an ordinary mini demon like we have nowadays. He was really, really powerful, this Ravana. And he was so powerful that he didn't have any fear of any human beings. That's why when Lord Brahma gave him the boon, that he couldn't be killed by demigods, he couldn't be killed by... didn't bother with human beings, didn't ask for that, because he figured there's absolutely no way any human can kill me. So once, as mentioned in the Ramayana and also in the condensed version by Krishna Dharma, when he was traveling all over and creating havoc with his demoniac followers, they used to literally, just imagine, we're all aspiring sages here, ascetics. We're sitting in our assembly. Imagine if they would come by now like they did in those days. They were just flying over the forest at Minor Butte, and then all of a sudden a group of sages. So they threw down all kinds of foul things on the sacrifice of the sages, and then they killed them and ate them, drank their blood. Imagine if we had such heavy duty demons nowadays that could do that. Very, very demoniac. Yes, we have so many demons nowadays, people who do horrible things, like recently was in the news, some demented woman killed her children by putting them in an oven. Can you imagine? You give birth to the children and then you kill them like that. But then think of Hiranyakashipu. He was practically the ruler of the universe by receiving boons from Lord Brahma, but he was so fearful and envious of his five-year-old son that he tried to kill him in so many ways. Forget about oven, boiling oil, elephants, weapons, poisonous snakes, so many ways he tried to kill the boy. So this business of being so fallen, so demoniac that you want to kill your own offspring didn't start just yesterday or a few weeks ago. This has been going on since time immemorial. Time immemorial. This is how low we can fall. We're all by nature pure, parts and parcels of Krishna. We belong in the spiritual world, happily serving Krishna. But when we turn away from Krishna and fall into the material consciousness, we can become so low and so envious that we want to destroy other living beings, even though it's not possible, which we should remember. You cannot kill another person. The person goes on living. We all survive the death experience. You cannot kill another person. You can destroy their body. Just like you can burn down somebody's house. Recently in Hollywood, some, again, demented person went off and set four fires, lit up some trees, and a bunch of homes burned. And so you can do that. You can burn somebody's home. You can burn their body, but you can't burn the soul. Krishna points out in the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, the soul cannot be burned or dried or withered by the wind or wet, moistened by water. So we should take that to heart. You cannot kill another entity, living entity. It's not possible. You can extremely disturb them by destroying their current material home, whether it's an ant body or a human body or even a demigod body can be killed. But you cannot kill the person. So this knowledge needs to be driven home in human society, especially. Animals you can't train. You may be able to train a tiger to not be as ferocious as it normally is, but its instinct is still there. So many cases. A few years ago in Las Vegas, they had this show, these two guys, Siegfried and Roy, and they had their tiger act. They had white tiger and white lion and all these gorgeous looking animals, and they would trot them out on stage and make them do things. But lo and behold, in one show, still don't know why, because you can't interview the animal and ask him why, one of the tigers went off and grabbed one of them and almost killed him. He survived, but almost died. So you can't take that instinct away from a tiger. But human beings can be trained by culture, by knowledge, not to attack others. So this Ravana and his band of Rakshasas, they would regularly go around and attack sages, kill them and eat them. Just imagine. So Lord Ramachandra came to please the demigods, as it's mentioned here, by destroying this Ravana. So building the stone bridge to Lanka and eventually destroying Ravana, these are some of the things that superhuman activities that Lord Ramachandra exhibited. But again, we're meant to, by culture, International Society for Krishna Consciousness is a movement of cultural conquest. By culture of education, culture of behavior, we're meant to set the example to the modern day atheists that you're not going to prevail. You may want to send your spaceships, take a cheap way to get to the heavenly planets, just like Ravana has mentioned here, he wanted to build a staircase so that ordinary men didn't have to go through the reformatory processes, didn't have to purify their existence to get to heaven. They could just climb a staircase and go to heaven. So the modern scientific attempt is like that. They want to go to Mars and Venus and Moon and this and that by mechanical means. They don't want to, Yantideva Vratan Devan, they don't want to use that methodology as Krishna describes in the Bhagavad Gita. Then yes, if you want to go to the planets of the demigods, you worship them, following the standard recommended process, and you can go there. You can go to Brahmaloka, you can go to Intraloka, following that standard process. But they don't want to do that. They want to, in the short lifetime of the human beings nowadays, they want to get in a rocket ship and go. Right now they're literally trying to recruit people to go to Mars. But people, intelligent people want to know, okay, I'll go, but can I come back? No, we can't guarantee you that. We'll get you there. We think we can get you there. But we have no guarantee that we can bring you back. So who wants to go? Put your hand up. You want to go in that way? You get in a rocket ship which is not even guaranteed to survive. We see how many of them blow up. Remember Challenger. So many of them, they either blow up taking off or they burn up coming back. So do you want to follow such modern science? If it's really science, you should be able to do it repeatedly over and over again without any mishap. But it's really not science. Even the material science, they don't get right. Just one little mistake. In one of those flights, there was a little O-ring or something that wasn't made properly. And because of that, whole mission blew up. So like that, you can't trust imperfect people to make perfect methodology or perfect machines or perfect anything. You can't. So don't put your faith in the material modern scientists. Don't do that. Sometimes even as devotees, we get misled. We remain in this mood of worshiping Krishna's energy instead of Krishna himself. We lust after Krishna's energy instead of developing stronger and stronger desire to surrender to Krishna, serve Krishna. And we should always remember, this is a process of surrender. It's not just a process of, I come in contact with Krishna consciousness and then I do whatever I want. No, it's a process of surrender. You have to surrender, first of all, to Guru. The idea is we want to surrender to Krishna, but we have to do it by surrendering first to Krishna's representative. Prabhupada made that clear over and over again. Yes, you want to see God, but if you want to see God, you have to please God's representative. But we don't want that. Even though in every phase of our life, we have this experience that to get anything worthwhile, to get any happiness, we have to please somebody. First of all, you have to please the parents so that they'll be happy with you and not cut you out of the will, at least even if you don't like them. You have to. Everybody learns. You have to please mom and dad. Because if you want their property, if you don't want them to cut you out of the will, then you have to play the game. You have to dance. Hi, mom. Hi, dad. How are you? I love you. When are you going to die already? Isn't it? That's the modern mentality. The Menendez brothers right here in L.A. I use them as an example all the time when I speak in colleges and high schools. Wealthy family. The family had millions. But they couldn't wait for mom and dad to die. They wanted money now so they can party. They were already partying like anything, but they wanted to get a hold of the money, so they killed them. Fortunately, they got caught. So now instead of enjoying the property by the natural means of just staying alive until the parents die, that's the natural means. If the offspring just stay alive, the parents will die and you'll get there. But no, they couldn't wait. So now they're enjoying prison life. For so many years, both the brothers are in prison. So this is exactly what happens to us. If we want to enjoy Krishna's property without Krishna, then we remain in prison in the material world. If you allow yourself to be trained by Krishna's representative to use Krishna's property in Krishna's service, then you elevate yourself all the way back to Godhead. It's that simple. Two choices. Do you want to go up, 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 and up all the way back to Godhead? Or you want to stay in this material prison? And it's a prison. Doesn't matter how much money you have. Sometimes as so-called preachers, and I always have to remind these so-called preachers in Islam, we're not preachers, we're assisting Prabhupada who's preaching. So, but sometimes the so-called preachers, they want to come up with newer and newer ways to deliver the philosophy and newer and newer analogies. Don't strain your brain. Just repeat what Prabhupada gave us. Prabhupada said his books are the law books for the next 10,000 years. And just after 40 years already, some people want to change this and that. No. Prabhupada's books, Prabhupada's analogies, Prabhupada's stories. Just keep telling them and you will get the results. So the analogy I always use, again, speaking in universities and high schools, fish out of water. And the kids get it right away. You ask them, if you go down to the Pacific Ocean and you take a fish out and put it on a beach, what will happen? Many of them immediately say, they'll die. No, the fish won't die immediately. It will flop around miserable for quite some time. So in that miserable state of flopping around, if you come and you give that fish, okay, I see the fish on the beach and I'm thinking, this fish is miserable, what can I do? Ah, you're hungry. And I bring a big feast and I give the fish. Will the fish be happy? No, still miserable. What's wrong with you? Ah, you need some money. You run to the ATM and you bring back thousands of dollars. Give it to the fish. No, still not happy. Nice new car. BMW. You come in, you give the fish the keys to the car. Still not happy. Romance. You need to meet a nice guy fish or girl fish. Here, I know lots of them. Here, introduce you. Still not happy. Very simple analogy, but the kids get it. It doesn't matter what you give the fish in that condition, it will not be happy. So what will make the fish happy? I ask them. Oh, put it back in the water. Yes. Put it back in its natural atmosphere immediately. Happy. Happy fish. So we're like that. We're like fish out of water in this material world. And it doesn't matter what we get in the realm of material amenities, accoutrements, we will never be happy. And we see it happening constantly. All these stars, so-called, and big CEOs, they have practically anything they want materially. But they are still not happy. I was just reading an interview somebody had with this person who was the main driving force behind the iPod. He was the one who had the brilliant idea. He actually had formed a company to create something similar, and then Apple discovered him and hired him to come because they had a similar idea. And he came, and he was the driving force behind the iPod. So he made the iPod, and then he got involved in the iPhone project. But he became at odds with Steve Jobs. This is while Jobs was still alive, and they kicked him out. So he went on and formed another company and created something called a Nest, which is this intelligent thermostat that had on the wall. But again, because of his personality conflict, he got bought out by a bigger company and they kicked him out. The guy is worth millions of dollars, but his whole driving force in life is how to get revenge against Silicon Valley, how to get revenge against these big guys like Apple. Not happy with all his millions of dollars. And you see? So all the millions of dollars in the world, all the intoxicants, they will never make us happy. We will only be happy when we are again put in our natural environment of spiritual, loving service to the Supreme Lord. So we should allow that fact to sink in. Don't waste your time chasing after phantasmagoria. This position, that amount of money, disrespect, this, all of this is just phantasmagoria. The reality is we are eternally servants of Krishna, and we will only be happy when we surrender to Krishna and serve Him with love and devotion. That's it. Very simple formula. But not so easy, because we've been conditioned since time immemorial to chase after the shadow, to chase after the phantasmagoria, and not surrender to the reality. And we actually mislead each other. We actually happily mislead each other. Instead of pushing each other to go forward, we actually hold each other back, because we hold ourselves back. And we hold ourselves back, and therefore we don't see any problem holding others back, preventing them from going forward. So I wanted to finish by, as I said, I speak a lot in high schools and colleges, the A team, as we call it, academic team, myself, Narantara, and whomever else we can grab at the moment. So recently we spoke, a few weeks ago, at the two high schools that are in Palos Verdes. There's Palos Verdes Peninsula High School, which if you take the 405 and get up at Hawthorne and go all the way up the hill to the top of Hawthorne, where it meets Silver Spur, there's that high school there, Palos Verdes Peninsula High School. And there's another one in Palos Verdes Estates, which is just called Palos Verdes High School. So we did both schools in one day. Now that first one, Palos Verdes Peninsula High School, we've been speaking at for decades. Going back to Divya Drishti and her crew used to do it about 40 years ago. I started in 96. And the interesting thing is that the teacher who's teaching the class now, World Religions, her name is Mindy Webster. She was a student in the class in 96 when I started speaking there. We started speaking there, this current team that we have. And so she was a student of the teacher then, Mr. Macklin. Very nice gentleman, just retired a year or two ago, and now she's come back to that school and she's teaching this class. So she invited us to come, and we had a wonderful interaction. And so she sent a thank you note along with a whole bunch of notes written by her students. So I'm just going to read a couple of them for you. So her note, you can see, handwritten, she says, "Thanks for the visit. Looking forward to next year. Mindy Webster. Hare Krishna." And then her students, very, very interesting. I'll just read a few of them. The first one is kind of general, and then I'll read two more that are very, very encouraging. So this one says, Dear Hare Krishnas, thank you for coming to my school and teaching us about your beliefs and practices. I enjoy chanting and dancing with you. We always start out by explaining the Mahamantra and then getting them to chant it and dance along. Your visit really added to what we were learning in class, and I feel I have a better understanding of your religion. I also enjoyed the cookies. And again, this is Prabhupada's formula. We don't make anything up. Prabhupada wrote to Sasrut Maharaj that he was very happy that Maharaj was preaching in the colleges, and he said, but you must have prasadam, because whatever you say, it'll go in one ear and out the other. They'll forget whatever you tell them about philosophy. But they will always remember the prasadam, that these nice people gave us something nice to eat. So here's proof of what Prabhupada is saying. I also enjoy the cookies. I even picked up one of your vegetarian cookbooks. Thank you, Cole. So that's one kind of general one, but very nice. And then these other two, just bear with me a few minutes. I thought they were very interesting. I mean, they all are, but these next two, very nice. Dear Hare Krishnas, thank you for taking the time to come to Peninsula High to teach us about your faith. I never really felt interested in any other faith but my own until I heard your teachings. I enjoyed the chanting and the way it was explained. It never occurred to me that the theory of evolution, which I primarily believed in, has yet to be proven as a fact. We always drive home that point. Because Prabhupada said, if you can't get them to understand that the modern scientists are giving them garbage, at least make them doubt. See, that's the mission of the Bhaktivedanta Institute. At least make them doubt that what they're hearing from the modern scientists is actually factual. So we always do that in our explanation. So she says, it never occurred to me that the theory of evolution, which I primarily believed in, has yet to be proven as a fact. I learned a lot of new things that I'll take with me throughout life. Thank you also for the books. So we always bring a nice display of books. And because it's high schools, we can't sell it to them directly. But we put them there. We say, if you like, you can take any book. And if you like, you can leave a donation. And quite often they do. Some of them take without leaving anything. But some do. Like recently we went to a Catholic high school. And many of the girls took. It's all girls. But one girl gave a large donation, which more than covered everything. So she said, thank you also for the books. I got the one that's titled Chant and Be Happy. And I began reading it. Thank you for this experience. Sincerely, Myra. And then the last one I'll read says, Dear Hare Krishna, I am so happy you came in to talk to us. I learned so much about Hare Krishna and I'm interested in learning more. What you said about God and how the Big Bang is a theory and how it can't really explain how we are all here really tripped me out. Especially since I just watched The Matrix and it's tripping me out about who controls us and why we're here. I don't really believe in anything because I don't know what to believe. This is why I'm so interested in learning about other cultures, religions, and so on. Also, I've only gotten out of the country once, but I was so young I don't really remember. I've been trapped, put in quotation marks, I've been trapped in this one state and this one area that I want to see more. I know there's more out there than just iPhones, tall buildings, hoverboards, etc. That list of stuff is just all I see. And before I die, I want to see more. Intelligent kids. I want to see something different, and I got that opportunity to see a little of more. Just this is how she writes. A little of more, thanks to you guys. I really appreciated it. Thanks again. This gave me the thought to travel. And when I'm older and maybe learn more about Hare Krishna. Thank you, Madeline. And then on the bottom, BTW. By the way, your song is still stuck in my head. So, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. This is Srila Prabhupada's, this is why Prabhupada pushes us to go out. If we just plant little seeds, let's plant the song in the head so it's stuck. Plant the books. so they can read them and start to get a bigger picture, the real picture of reality. This is what the International Society for Krishna Consciousness is all about. Grantarashiman Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaur Bhaktivinoda Ki Jai.